Complete deliverance, part one. Complete deliverance. We're starting our deliverance series. And please, for the sake of your destiny, for the sake of everyone you love, I want you to pay attention. The spirit that distracts you tonight must be a demonic spirit, and you must be prepared to cast it out of your destiny. Hallelujah. Please don't take lightly what I'm telling you. I want you to pay attention. You will be amazed at how many people God will use your understanding. Are we together? I prayed my heart out and I told God, as for me, I will give my best in partnership with your spirit. It's up to you now to listen, because for someone, God is going to be answering your age-long prayer. For you, and I know that we minister healing, we minister deliverance all the time, but you see, when the word of God is taught, God gives you understanding. I'm trusting that God will so rubbish the devil and demystify him in this series that you will see the practicality of your authority in Christ. In the name of Jesus. John chapter 8 from verse 36. Let's read from Amplified. John chapter 6. Chapter 8 from verse 36. Amplified. Let's read together. Are you ready? One, two, read. So if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free. One more time. So if the Son liberates you, makes you free man. Really and unquestionably free. May that be your testimony in the name of Jesus. So this is a discourse on the subject of demonology and deliverance. We want to examine the basis for the liberty of the saints, that it is God's desire, and the Bible has made it very clear that there is a level of liberty that the saints in light should walk in, free from the orchestrations of darkness whatsoever. But as it is, you know by now that this is a kingdom that operates by light. Say light. Please shout it again. Say light. This is a kingdom that is knowledge dependent. That means no matter if there's someone under the anointing, please help them. Are we together? It's a kingdom that operates by light. That means it truly does not matter what God says or does not say. If you are ignorant of the dynamics, it can make what God has said as potent and as powerful as it is. It can make God look helpless in your life. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. My people, although they are my people, they are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So this is a three-part series. Today will be part one. Next week will be part two. The week after, part three. This is a very serious discussion. Let's have the course content down. Part one. Please write all that we're going to be discussing. Part one. We're going to be looking at the biblical basis for the study of Satan and demons. Under part one, we're going to be looking at the biblical basis for the study of Satan and demon. Does the Bible give us the allowance to study Satan, to study demons? Is it scriptural to study the orchestrations of darkness? The biblical basis for the study of Satan and demons. Number two, under part one, we're going to look at the origin of Satan. and demon spirits. Where did he come from? What exactly is his agenda? What is Satan about? Who is he? Who was he? The origin of Satan and demons. You can't imagine how ignorant many believers are as far as the knowledge of these spiritual truths concerned. Number three, we will look at the reality of evil. The reality of evil. You can put a dash there. In scripture and in our world today, the reality of evil, dash, in scripture and in our world today. Let me repeat, part one, we'll be discussing the biblical basis for the study of Satan and demons. Then we'll look at the origin of Satan and demon spirits. We want to examine from the lens of scripture where this adversary who has oppressed God's people so much, where did he come from? And what is his mission? What exactly is his goal? Why is he so determined to destroy every one of us if allowed? And then the reality of evil, we'll first look at evil from scripture and then in our world today. Hallelujah. Can I give you part two, or do we leave till next week? Part two. What are we going to be discussing under part two? Number one, the structure and the operation of Satan and demons. Under part two now. Don't confuse your notes. Organize it so that you, when you are studying, you understand what you're writing. The structure and operation of Satan and demons. The Bible is very clear as to the fact that Satan operates a very intelligent organogram. There is a structure. There is hierarchy. There is a way that Satan operates. So we'll look at the structure and the operation of Satan and demons. Then we will now begin to examine proper the biblical concept of deliverance. That's the next point. Part two now, the structure and the operation of Satan, demons, then the biblical concept of deliverance. The biblical concept of deliverance. Number three, under part two, access points. We're going to be examining the concept of access points. What are the gateways that give Satan access to the life of the believer, of a people? Because the Bible lets us know that Satan can have access points and he can lay claim over people and over destinies. And then we're going to be looking at the nature of the flesh. This thing the Bible calls the flesh. We understand from scripture that this is the principal access point that Satan has. We will be examining the flesh. Do you have that down? The structure and the operation of Satan and demons. Then the biblical concept of deliverance. Then access points, and then the flesh. Part three, very quickly. Under part three, we're going to look at the topic administering deliverance. Number one, under part three, administering deliverance. We'll be studying the administration of deliverance. How do we administer deliverance? Under that topic, if you want to put as a subtopic, we'll put the three levels of complete deliverance. You may want to add it under administering deliverance, subtopic, the three levels of complete deliverance. Remember, the whole series is called Complete Deliverance. You will be learning that it is possible to experience a level, a measure of deliverance and not be delivered completely. But the Bible says that whosoever the Son sets free, that he ensures that that person is really and unquestionably free. Hallelujah. the three levels of complete deliverance. Then we'll be looking at what I title weapons of victory. Weapons of victory / the whole armor of God. Weapons of victory / the whole armor of God. There is such a thing as the whole armor of God, and there are weapons that have been given to us as believers to command and maintain our victory in Christ. So we'll be looking at weapons of victory / the whole armor of God. Then hopefully we'll touch here and there what I put here as imbalances around the subject of deliverance. You may want to add it somewhere. Imbalances around the subject of deliverance. We will be looking at what is biblical about deliverance and what is not biblical. Because I can assure you, it is not everything that is done around the deliverance, apostolic and prophetic ministry that is biblical and scriptural. We must be able to put perspective so that God will grant us grace. Hallelujah. Can you lay your hands on what you just wrote and say, Father, I receive understanding. It will not just be a note, but it will be transferred to my spirit, and the benefit will speak in my life here and now. Go ahead, please. Pray 1 minute. Lay your hands as a prophetic point of contact and pray, declaring by the spirit that you will not just be hearers alone, but you will be doers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Right, so please pay attention as I begin to teach. The Lord will grant us grace in Jesus' name. Now, theologically speaking, the subject of Satan, demons, exorcism, deliverance comes under a theological caption of demonology. Are we together now? Demonology is the study of demons, Satan, the satanic structure, and everything that relates to the operation of darkness. I have taught you that in studying the Bible from a theological angle, it is broken into many structures to enable the believer to have understanding. We have theology, comes from the word theos, the study of God, the triune nature of God. Hallelujah. So you study God to know who he is, and then it helps you to be able to relate with God. Then we have anthropology. Anthropology comes from the word anthropos, the study of man, our biological build-up, our historic, build-up, and all of that is an attempt to know and to understand man as the zenith of God's creation. Who is man? And what is it about man? Why did God mandate man to be the chief steward of earth? And then we now look at things like demonology, the study of Satan, demons, the satanic structure. What was Satan looking for when he came to tempt man? And all, the fall of man and all of these things. Then we look at what we call soteriology. Soteriology is the study of salvation. The entire plan of salvation, beginning from the fall of man until the resurrection of Jesus. Are we together? Then we look at pneumatology. Pneumatology is the study of the ministry, the person, the ministry, and the office of the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus died and resurrected, he gathered the disciples together and handed them over to the ministry. So our dispensation, the dispensation of the church age, is also the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we have pneumatology, and then we have, there are other interjections here and there, like Christology, the study of Jesus now as that plan. Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was also a strategy, God's strategy given to man to redeem man. Then we study ecclesiology, now the church, the fruit of redemption. We have now come, this is where we now teach on kingdom advance, the gospel, influence, spiritual growth and maturity, what the local assembly is about, you know, and all the facets of the kingdom. And then we wrap up by studying from a theological standpoint now what we call eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the end times. The Bible says if our hope is only in this world, we are of all men most miserable. So we have to understand through the eye of prophecy what lies before us as things begin to unfold. So that is classically how to study the Bible. When you want to have a rich and balanced spiritual growth, you compartmentalize these aspects and you study them in detail. They may not carry all those names, but it is important that believers be exposed to all these 7 or 8 dimensions to be holistically built. If you are left out in any of these areas aforementioned, you will find out that your spiritual growth will be lopsided. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Now write this down just for the records. The word deliver, D-E-L-I-V-E-R, the word deliver occurs about 594 times in the entire Bible. The word deliver occurs about 594 times in the entire scripture, meaning from Genesis to Revelation. Of course, factoring the different versions, the word deliver occurs about 594 times in the entire Bible. And then the word deliverance occurs 179 times, using 12 translations as a reference. If you use the various translations that we have, the 12 major translations as a reference, the word deliverance occurs 179 times. If you use the KJV, for instance, for many of us who are King James people, it occurs about 41 times in the entire Bible, using KJV as a reference. That is to tell you that it must be a very serious subject for it to have this kind and this frequency of occurrence. Now let's look at the biblical basis. We're looking at the biblical basis for the study of Satan, because the reason why I'm teaching this is there are many people in the body of Christ, preachers, believers, who believe that it is antichrist, anti-kingdom, even anti-new creation to ever deal with anything that has to do with Satan. In fact, most people may want to suggest that anything that has to do with demonic activities, demonic structure, should not be mentioned among God's people. And those suggestions are very sincere, you must understand. It comes from the understanding that it is out of the abundance of what is in your heart and your mind that you live out. And that if you spend your time studying on Satan, studying on demons, chances are excellent that your entire life will be governed by fear and all of this. So the people who purport negating Satan and all of these things and focusing on Jesus, they are teaching from a well-meaning standpoint. But many of you know that for you to become exceptional in anything, you must be exposed to all the dimensions of that thing. When you are teaching someone how to drive professionally, there must be a study on accidents. There must be a study on what to do. There is no pilot who becomes professional who will not study what to do if and when a plane crashes. That does not mean the goal is for him to crash. Are we together? But woe betides a pilot who never went through the lecture on how to manage situations like that. By the way, let me give us our foundational scriptures. My apologies, I didn't give us scriptures. Let me give us 4 or 5. We're going to do a lot of Bible reading. We're Christians, and this is a very deep and this is a very touchy subject, so we need to do a lot of leaning on scripture. Obadiah 1:17, first scripture, in addition to that which we opened the teaching with. Obadiah 1:17, But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Where will deliverance happen? So the idea that deliverance should not happen in the house of God is already, this scripture just answers it once and for all. That upon Mount Zion, that is even the proper place where there should be deliverance and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Surprisingly, this is Jesus himself teaching. Are you ready to read what he said? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Jesus is teaching the people how to pray, and he's saying in your prayer, make sure that this is captured, that you should be delivered, and he tells you what you should be delivered from: evil. That means you can become a victim of evil if you are not delivered from it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Luke chapter 4, please, and verse 18. Jesus now went to the temple. Remember, after his temptation, Jesus went to the temple. In fact, let's start from verse 17 so that we put perspective to it. The Bible says, can we back up 16? Let's do 16. It will be very fair. The Bible says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. 17 now. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet. So we know that it was not a book, a superstitious book. We know that it was not some Christian science. It was the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now let's read 18 together. Ready? One, two, read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach. One more time, that line. To preach deliverance to the captives. Hold on. To preach deliverance to the captives. That means it tells you immediately that deliverance is not only conducted, deliverance is preached. There is a dimension of deliverance that is preached. It is not just about laying on of hands. We're coming there. Are we together? To preach deliverance to the captives. And recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Just stop there. So Jesus said, part of my assignment, my messianic, the description of my assignment is to also do something about the issue of those who are in captivity, to bring deliverance for them. We already dealt with John 8:32. Let's look at the last scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. I want you to read this one loud and clear when we have it. Are you ready? May that be your testimony in Jesus' name. One, two, read. Let's read together. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever. It says the Lord shall deliver me from how many? Every evil work. So there is something called evil work, the works of darkness programmed against individuals. And he said the Lord shall deliver me. Now, from a theological standpoint, the first mention of the word deliverance, strangely, is found in Genesis 45 and verse 7. And this had to do with Joseph speaking about the reason for why he came to the palace. Joseph is speaking now to his brothers. He said, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives. How? By a great... So what does deliverance do? It can save. Deliverance also leads to salvation. That the way to be saved is through deliverance. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Hallelujah. Is there a biblical basis for the study of Satan? Is there a biblical basis for the study of demons and their operations? Is there a biblical basis for the study of deliverance? Should the believer study the subject of deliverance? Why do we need to study deliverance? At least we know for a surety that Jesus died, he defeated Satan. He said it is finished. We know that today he is seated at the right hand of the Father. We know he has given us the victory. Why then do we have to study Satan? Why then do we have to study demons? Why then do we have to study the operations of the satanic kingdom? Why do we have to study the subject of deliverance? Is there a biblical basis? Now please look up. Let me teach you how to extract the thoughts of God in scripture. Anything is qualified to be a doctrine. I have taught you about doctrines. The word doctrine comes from the Latin word doctrina. It means a predefined body of knowledge that is intended to make a student become something exact. Doctrine. Are we together? And that believers mature in this kingdom through the sound exegesis of doctrine. Every time doctrine is communicated, it's able to empower the believers to be people of stature and maturity. Anything is qualified to be a doctrine if it passes these three tests. Never forget this. Anything that cannot pass these three tests is not qualified to be called doctrine. Number one, that subject matter or that thought must be captured in the Old Testament. It must be a subject that was captured